Again, welcome. And if I can be so presumptuous as to say this, thanks on behalf of God for carving out some time in this culturally chaotic Christmas season to bend your hearts toward God. You know, that's really what worship is at its very heart, is the bending of your heart toward God. Recognizing that there is someone more beyond that deserves our attention and even more so our affection. And that worship comes because we know that in Christ, God has bent his heart toward us. And so thanks for being in worship tonight. He is our light and our life, and certainly this Christmas we have much to be thankful for. You know, a Hallmark holiday tradition is to watch movies this time of year, Christmas movies in particular. And I thought for the sake of fun, I'd throw some lines your way and see if you can guess the movies that these Christmas, their Christmas movies, these lines come from. Can we try this together? Have some fun as a family? Let's try this. And I will do the best with the characterization that goes with these lines. Now, you have to let me get through the lines, okay? So no jumping ahead for those of you who are like couch potatoes and been watching movies continuously. All right, here's the first one. Santa! I know him! How many of you knew Elf? How many of you have not seen Elf? There's a disturbing quality, not gonna lie, but so good. By the way, a bonus question, four food groups for North Pole Elves? Candy, candy canes, candy corn, syrup. Right, exactly. If you have not seen Elf, maybe you should think about seeing it based on the response of the congregation tonight. Just saying. How about this one? If you're really Santa Claus, you can get it for me. And if you can't, you're only a nice man with a white beard, like my mother says. Miracle on 34th Street. By the way, kids, that was done in black and white. There was a time when we actually watched things on screen without color. Okay, here's the third one. Nobody's walking out on this fun Christmas. No, no, we are all in this together. Clark Griswold, Christmas Vacation. A bonus question, how many lights did Clark Griswold put on his Christmas house tree thing? 25,000. This may be the first time, Dave, that anybody has gotten that number right in literally in three sermons on this one so far. Okay, two more. Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings. It's a wonderful life. Anybody remember the name of the kid who said that? Zuzu. True story. I always wanted to have the name Zuzu when I was growing up. I thought, man, anybody who names their kid Zuzu is like a cool mom or dad. So you can call me Pastor Zuzu tonight. Anyways, last one. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Grinch. Yeah, you got it. You got it. You're good. Hey, Christmas, we know, is much more than movies and carols. It's much more than presents under the tree and cookies that fill our tummies. All of the movies that I've mentioned, and really every Christmas movie, from Frosty the Snowman to White Christmas, there are deeper values at work in those movies that warm our hearts. Values like unconditional love, of course. Values like persevering loyalty. The priority of selflessness, elevating others beyond your own wants and even needs. Those are the values of Christmas, and to the degree that those movies that I mentioned and you may carry in your heart and like above all else, to the degree that those movies carry these values, those movies make Christmas worth celebrating. They are the heart of the spirit of Christmas. Luke chapter 2 has those values underneath itself as well. Luke chapter 2 is about unconditional love. It's about persevering loyalty. It's about the priority of putting others above yourself. Consider that in the absence of any earlier prayer or previous merit on anybody's part, Christ comes into this world in Luke chapter 2. He is unconditioned by any precondition. His love, his entry into this world. I'm kind of a word nerd. The staff I work with knows my nerdiness around words and phrases and making up new words. It's just kind of fun to do every so often. And one of the words, though, that I think about when I think about Luke chapter 2 is the word jarring. Luke chapter 2 is jarring to our senses and sensibilities. Before the first verse of Luke chapter 2 was written, there was really nothing going on that was different than the day before. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes into this world. And the very recording of his coming into this world, if you were a religious person back then, if you were someone who followed God, it was a jarring occasion. It's kind of like an Emeril Lagasse episode on the Food Network. Bam! Jesus comes into this world. And no one's life was the same, has been the same ever since. Unconditioned, without any precondition or pre-warning. Unconditional love is at the heart of Christmas. Consider this. Consider that the world has been going on for thousands of years since the heavens and the earth were made. Consider the fact that Adam and Eve were created and all of their descendants, all of their posterity, they engaged in the same spiritual sin and failure that Adam and Eve brought upon this earth. And yet, God persevered in that unconditional love in spite of that ongoing spiritual failure. His persevering loyalty is a value that lies at the heart of the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. Let me ask you a question, especially you guys, not so much the ladies in the congregation tonight. How old are you? How old are you? Think about that. You know, the older I get, as I am now a stone's throw away from 50. I mean, is that crazy? And you're probably there and you're thinking, I'm close to 40. I'm close to 60, 70, 80. And all of those decade benchmarks are just, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm almost that. But what I realize is this, is that the older I get, the more effort I have to expend to put aside cynicism, to put aside distrust of others, to put aside the skeptical attitude that judges people's motives to the bad instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt. The older I get, the more jaded I become to other human beings. Consider that Jesus was 33 years old. He lived for that long, and he lived a perfect life. And with that perfect point of reference, I wonder what effort it must have taken him, having that perfection in himself, to have to fight against the cynicism, the distrust, the skepticism of the good and the effort that was at work in every human heart. And yet he did that for 3 decades of his life journey. And in doing that, he showed a persevering loyalty to the unconditional love that brought him into this world in the first place. You see, loyalty is on full display in living color, not black and white, in living color in the coming of Christ. Finally, consider that all of that loyalty and all of that love is tethered to a sacrificial effort to put others above self. Luke 2 isn't a Christmas movie, but it's a blockbuster that we pay attention to. It's a blockbuster worth our attention and our affection. Hey, anybody seen a good movie lately? I'm kind of looking around for one. Anybody? How many of you have seen Star Wars? Raise your hand. How many of you thought Star Wars was up to par? How many of you thought Star Wars was below par and a complete disappointment? A few? I saw Star Wars, love Star Wars, but I also saw a movie called Wonder. Anybody seen the movie Wonder? It is the best Christmas movie of the year. In my humble opinion, IMHO for the teenagers among us. It's a story about August Pullman. It's a story about August Pullman, and the story itself makes Christmas a little bit more meaningful for me. Maybe it will be for you as well. He was born with his face genetically disfigured. Genetically disfigured from the day he was born. Before his 12th birthday, in 12 years, he had nearly twice as many surgeries to help make him look normal. This is a true story, by the way. August Pullman was so disfigured that most hours each day were spent wearing a Halloween mask to cover up his homeschooled shame, because he didn't want to go to school to be made fun of by all the normal kids. Wonder is about a disfigured boy who must learn to live in a world with allegedly normal and typical people, people like you and me. And through the course of the movie, you come to realize and you're confronted by the fact that there is, in fact, no normal. And those who think that they are normal, from human standards, are the ones who are shown over the course of the movie to be the most ugly, the most disfigured, the most hideous. By the time the movie ends, and in spite of how disfigured, August will always be, the amazing resolution of the movie is that you get to see that August is the most beautiful kid in all the world. But here's the best part of the whole movie, and there's no spoilers, by the way. I'm not spoiling any part of the movie for you. The best part of the movie is that by the end of the movie, you come to realize that those who've entrusted the care of their souls to August Pullman, those who have given him the benefit of the doubt, those who have taken the risk of associating with him, sitting at the table, being in his presence, giving him a high five, even touching him, those people are shown to be as beautiful as he is. They are caught in his beautiful orbit. And the music sings because of it. The movie sings because of it. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus Christ was not born disfigured. Jesus was born beautiful. Angels and stars attended his coming, his arrival on our planet. We are told a little bit later in Luke chapter 2 that he grew in stature and wisdom, in purity and selflessness each and every day. But over time, disfigurement overtook him. Not because of abnormal genes, but because of an ungodly world. Through the course of the story, those who claim to be normal, to measure up, to meet the standards of God, those who took upon themselves that kind of stature and presumption, they showed themselves to be the most flawed, disfigured, and marred among the human race. To put it a different way, in keeping with our kind of Concordia Church family language, those who said they had not sinned deceived themselves and the truth was not in them. In their claimed normalcy, they proved themselves to be liars. And in fact, by doing so, they disfigured the Son of God all the more. But by the time the story ends, and in spite of the disfigurement that we had placed on that Son of God, we are made beautiful and whole, and it is well with our souls as we entrust those souls, the care of our souls, to Him by way of faith. It's the Christmas story. At its center is unconditional love, persevering loyalty, the priority of putting others beyond yourself. It's not any old Christmas movie that I can quote from. It's not even about August Pullman. It's about Jesus, and therefore it is about you. You who with me was born into this world spiritually and morally disfigured by sin. By the end of this story, we are made by God to be the most beautiful children because we by faith believe in Jesus Christ, the disfigured Son of God. He makes you beautiful this Christmas. Not because you fulfilled any precondition, not because you deserve his persevering loyalty, and certainly not because of your selflessness or the priority of putting others before your wants and needs. You are made beautiful simply because he loves you. And he loves you with an unconditional kind of love. This is the Christmas story. And your beauty in the sight of God is its surprising and superb ending. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds now in Christ Jesus.